Well, we're going to be thinking about the good news that the angel gave to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. But just thinking of the word of the angel to the shepherds. Now, we've had a large number of readings, but in fact, we're only going to be dealing with one verse this evening. And this is the verse, it's Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. It's what the angel said to the shepherds. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. We're going to look at this verse and we're going to look at it sort of backwards, a kind of reverse engineering. We're going to think about who will be hearing this good news, these good tidings, why it is great joy, and then what the good news is. So the first thing is to find out who is to receive this good news, this glad tidings. And the answer that the angel tells us there is that it's to all people. It's a message for everyone. And so going back to our text, it says that the good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And that means when the angel announced this to the shepherds, it was supposed to be good news for the elderly chief priest who was offering sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem, and the youngest baby born, say, in Jerusalem. It was good news for them. But it's also good news for all the people in the first century and all the people of the world in the 21st century. And it could be good news for people living in Australia and people living in Iceland. So it's good news for every single one of us. Everyone. The whole world. And the message of the angel is for you, and it is for me. And that's a wonderful message to hear, isn't it? And the angel tells us that it brings a message that brings great joy. Staying with our text once more. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Great joy. I think we can say this of this time of year and this approaching of Christmas, that there doesn't seem to be a lot of joy at this present time. Partly that is because of we're still in this COVID-19, this pandemic situation. And the news isn't great, is it? Even today, we gather that the health secretary is talking about nothing is impossible. You may have Christmas, but then you might find yourself locked down again once more. There's certain restrictions. And so we could all do with something to cheer us up this evening, couldn't we? And I find that Christmas does that. You know, when the nights are getting dark and it's getting cold, we need something to cheer us up. And Christmas does that. You can meet with good friends as we approach Christmas and over Christmas. Christmas lights. I don't know whether it's me or not, or maybe it's my child within, but I like walking around the streets and seeing the Christmas lights outside. And there's one particular one that I spotted yesterday, which was a nativity scene outside someone's house. And we were speculating whether that person was a Christian or not. But that was very cheering and very heartwarming. And it's nice to see the color and the flashing lights, I find. And here's a confession, really. What I like about Christmas as well is that it's got good food. And that seems to be part of Christmas, isn't it, these days? You've got to have the food, so much food. After a couple of days of Christmas, you can hardly walk, can you, because of the food. But the angel isn't saying that he's got a message that is intended just simply to cheer you up. Rather, he's saying that I've got a message that's great joy. That's much more than just cheering somebody up. It's a real joy, a great joy. But what can give you great joy? Well, in my own limited experience, I can tell you this, that great joy can be found in the family at the news of a newborn baby. When a newborn baby comes into the family, it gives the family, especially the mums and dads and the grandparents, but the other members of the family, great joy that there's new life. And of course, this is about a baby born in Bethlehem. And that's a great joy, that new life that's there in Bethlehem. But a third thing is this, that it's good news. Our translation had it as good tidings, but that word tidings is also really meaning also good news. Now sometimes, and let me just bring up the text for you again once more. Do not be afraid, behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. Now sometimes when you're watching the television, and it hasn't happened to me very often, but when I was a youngster, I remember you used to watch these your favorite TV programs, and then they would be interrupted, or the TV program would be canceled because there was breaking news. The TV report would report some news. Now, we've had one recently, some months ago. I remember when the news flash came, we used to call it the news flash, and it said that the Duke of Edinburgh had died. And that broke in and into various TV programs, and then we had the scheduled programs were altered because there were programs about the Duke of Edinburgh, the Queen's husband. And usually when this happens, it's bad news. But there are occasions when the TV programs will be interrupted, there will be a news flash, and it's good news. One such, not that I can remember this because I wasn't around at the time, but in 1945, the news broke in for the radio that Germany had surrendered, there was peace in Europe. And what happened? Well, people went out on the streets, they started singing and celebrating and dancing, and they were putting up bunting and they were rejoicing at the good news. And that's what the angel is doing, if you think about it. The angel knows that a baby has been born in Bethlehem. Not just any baby, it was a special baby. It was the Messiah. It was the Messiah that had been promised from the Old Testament and has come, born in a stable in Bethlehem. And he's breaking in to the normal things. Heaven breaks in upon earth with the news of this great good news that a baby, Jesus, the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, has been born on earth. And of course, it's just not this one angel that breaks the news, because as you read a little bit further on in Luke, you discover the angelic host break in with their song. It's an angelic choir that are singing praises to God and to the Lord Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2 and verses 11 to 12, you hear what the angel continues to say to the shepherds. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, someone who's going to rescue them from their sins. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe, a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's what the angel says to these shepherds. But we can go to that final reading that we had where Paul, writing his letter to the church at Galatia, puts a bit more, if you like, depth to the message of the angel. There in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, Paul wrote this, "But when the fullness of the time had come," in other words, when God thought it was the right time. There'd been centuries of prophets talking about the coming of the Messiah, the one who was to rescue Israel, the one who was to save his people from their sins, the one who would deliver heaven to all who believe. But when the fullness of the time had come, when God thought it was the right time, God sent forth his Son, that's Jesus, born of a woman, born of Mary, born under the law. It simply means that he was born into this world in which we live and subject to the law of God. And why? Because it was to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Well, we could add this, can't we? The adoption as sons and daughters of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that this baby born in Bethlehem was to do? Well, Jesus, the baby, was to live a perfect life in full and total obedience to his Father in heaven. His death was to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. There needed to be a substitute, somebody who would pay the price for all our rebellions, all our unbelief, all the wrong things that we've done. Someone who would be our substitute, someone who would receive what we should receive and be able to pay the price for it. What this baby Jesus was to do when he became a man and went to the cross was that there on the cross he cleared the way for us to go to heaven and to be the children of God. Not to be the slaves of Satan and to be hell bound, but to be the sons and daughters of God and have an inheritance in heaven with Jesus. Now that's really good news, isn't it? We deserve hell. We deserve God to pour all his wrath upon us. God to have nothing to do with us. But rather, God does look down upon us. And in his mercy, and in his grace, and in his love, knowing all that was going to happen, from the beginning of eternity, he planned and he purposed the sending of his Son to be the Redeemer, to redeem us from our sins, to enable us, if we believe in him, to be his children, his sons and daughters, to have eternal life with him. And that's good news, the greatest good news. But what do you do with that good news? What do you do with the pronouncement from an angel about the birth of the Messiah? What do you do when the gospel is being preached and you're being told that heaven is open to you and all your sins which would stop you going into heaven have been paid for and the gate of heaven is open for you? What do you do? Let me give you an illustration. Before I give you the illustration, I'll tell you what you have to do. That might be easier to do it that way. You must believe in it. You must believe in it in order to receive it. Okay? You must believe in it in order to receive it. Now, let me give you an illustration. Just imagine a man who bought a lottery ticket. We know it's gambling, and perhaps we shouldn't mention gambling in a church, but we're going to mention it by way of illustration. A man buys a lottery ticket, one of those national lottery tickets, you know, that they do this draw on a Saturday. I don't know much about it, really, but I know some numbers come up, and if the numbers come up, match your ticket, then you can win millions of pounds, can't you? Well, imagine a man who bought a lottery ticket, and his number comes up. And he's been told that he has won £1 million. But what if this man said, I don't want the money. I only did it for the fun and the thrill of participating in the lottery. And now that I've got the tickets come up, I don't want the money. I just wanted to have some fun. Now, the world would say to such a man like that he was being very silly. They would say, you must be an idiot. There's £1 million and you won it and you should have it and use it. And he might say, well, I don't want to. I'm not going to hand my ticket over in order to get it. But you know, many people treat Jesus and the gospel in that kind of way. They hear about Jesus. They hear about the fact that Jesus died on the cross and that sins are paid for and heaven is open, but you have to believe in Jesus. And they say, well, I like the story of Jesus. I like the fact of Jesus being born at Christmas. I mean, Christmas is a nice time of year. I like the story about the baby Jesus in that stable cave and the baby in the manger and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. I like all that. And I like the story that someone is a savior, a rescuer, but I don't care. I'm not bothered. I'm not interested. I don't know how many people have said that to me over the years. When I tried to share the gospel and tried to say, look, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life in heaven. And people have said, I don't care. I'm not interested. And it's a bit like that man who's got the lottery ticket. I don't want that £1 million. I don't care. I'm not interested. Well, I hope this evening there's no one here like that. No one who doesn't care about Jesus. No one who doesn't care about about going to heaven. No one who's not interested about their sins being dealt with and the gates of heaven opened to them. I hope there's no one there, no one here like that. Instead, we ought to be like the shepherds. Now, what did the shepherds do? Well, let's find out. Luke chapter 2 and verse 20. The shepherds, they heard the message from the angel. And they acted upon what the angel said. They left the sheep on the mountainside or the hillside, and they went down to Bethlehem to find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they believed in him. I guess you could say if you've been sung to by angels and you've heard this angel give you a message, you're bound to believe in him. Well, they believed in him. They believed in him and trusted in him as the Messiah. And not only the Messiah, but their Messiah. And they worshipped God. And in verse 20 of Luke 2, we read these words. Then the shepherds returned, after seeing the baby Jesus. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They took into their minds the words of the angel. They went to find out this baby. They discovered there was a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. They heard the angels sing about Jesus the Savior and bringing peace on earth and goodwill to all men. They heard the angels singing about the Savior who would rescue from sin. And they believed in that baby. And then as they came back having seen Jesus, they worshipped. They worshipped God, glorifying and praising God. May it be this evening, may it be at this Christmas time, that would be true for us. We have heard the message of the gospel. We have seen with spiritual sight the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, and our hearts would be filled with worship and praise to God, that God would love us so much that he gave us Jesus to die in our place and to open the gates of heaven for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once more for that message from the lips of angels, from the lips of the prophets, from your servant Paul in the scriptures that speaks of Jesus, the one who was born of the woman, but also the one who is God the Son. We thank you that he took upon himself our sins. We thank you that he died in our place. And we thank you that because of what Jesus has done, that way into heaven is open for us. The gates of heaven are there, ready and waiting for us to enter in. We thank you, Lord, that the shackles of sin have been broken. Our slavery to Satan has been destroyed. We thank you that we who know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can call ourselves the sons and the daughters of God. And Father, we thank you that because we believe in Jesus and because we realize that we needed our sins to be dealt with, then we have peace with you and we have an eternity with you also, with Jesus. Amen.